Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, it's Sunday. How we doing? That's not Kate. It's not Tim. It's me. But I'm gonna let everyone in on a little secret. First of all, hi. It's not Joel and Kate at 8. It's actually tonight Joel and Cresta at 8 because Kate was unavailable tonight. Wish her well. Hopefully everything's good. And she'll hopefully be back next week. Will I be here next week? I don't know, but we're gonna find out. If not, we're just gonna start late. But that's programming note for later. I am at Joel Pearl and Cresta, the star, is here, and the star, you know, you and I, we don't talk no more, Cresta.
That's true. I'm a jabroni. You know, I don't talk to nobody. Listen to the sound of my voice. I can't talk.
You and I, I'll pull the curtain back. So, Cresta and I host the Post Impact show on Fightful on the main channel, and we used to stay up after the show, chatter rattering until like midnight later.
That's true.
And now we don't make time for each other anymore. Are we cool? Do we have heat?
We don't have heat. But I will say this. You know the professor, by the way. Bro, okay, right before this live started, this lady walks her dogs. I'm on the fourth floor, and these dogs, maybe the size of two cell phones back to back, a car go by. Ah! You try to walk your dog. Ah! And as soon as the dog's out of peripheral, these little dogs. I don't know who that lady is. Bless her heart. And these dogs look old and decrepit, but beans rise Jesus Christ and Joe Byron. Anyway, what I was going to say was that ever since I saw the professor, who's quite frequently on our Fightful TikTok, be on the Hot Wheels show, even before that, I've been on my, I need to step it up. I'm out here sending letters to brands like, please, you want to hire me? I'm loud. You don't need a loudspeaker. You don't need a mic boom. I'll just yell. So it's not you, Joel. Like, oh, I'm a man. It's not you, Joel. It's me.
Oh my God. It is me. I'm the problem. It's me.
Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. It's both of us.
No, reality is we do our impact show and we get out. What's really funny is that our impact show, it doesn't start much later than it used to. It used to be you and I just did it on our own. And then Ring of Honor show decided to come in and be like, oh, I love Ring of Honor. Let's talk about Ring of Honor. And then they realize it's very quickly becoming a developmental territory. And now they just do not like Ring of Honor all that much.
It is so sad because, like, if you guys have been watching Joel and I, especially on Thursday, you know I just started watching wrestling for all intents and purposes. So to see people go from, oh my God, Ring of Honor is where Joe got his start, Punk got his start, Seth Rollins, I think his name was something else before. I don't know what it was, but I don't want to. Tyler Black. Like, this is where these guys got their start from. To, oh my God, Tony Khan got it. To, oh my God, these matches are 20 years long, but it's good. To, oh my God, it's Jason Bourne. It escalated so quickly.
Yeah. And it messed with us.
Yeah.
It messed with us. And, you know, okay, fine. It's okay. We don't complain about it much because they've started getting better with the timing of their show because they've started taping at the Collision tapings, which is fine. That means that we don't have 3-hour long Ring of Honor shows as much as we just have not so busy Ring of Honor shows. But that's not our problem because Impact continues to do its thing.
I am a wrestling fan. I get all my news from other wrestling fans. So if they say they don't like it, I don't like it.
Hey, listen, you can be like Ricardo El Notorio and just be like, legit canceled ROH for Impact. There you go. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money or your time, but I'm just saying it's there. Okay.
I'm going to go with someone who has been here for 20 years through trials, tribulations, ups and downs, or someone who did the right thing, but also had to take a nap in the forever box. We were revived through the powers of necromancy. But I'm going to keep rocking with my girl Impact, even though I cheat on her with AEW, WWE. But
it's true. Can't watch a pay-per-view. Instead, you got to do collision post shows. That's fine.
I've learned my lesson.
By the way, be like Ricardo. Donate a super chat. Any amount, get your questions read on the air. We don't take Humper Chat. So, Cresta, you're off the... You're off the gig tonight. You don't have to say anything about the Humper Chats.
But what, the HumperChats.com? Please, the Humper.
Do it on the main channel. But we don't do Humper Chats here. One day we might. But anyway, do that. And leave a thumbs up on the video if you're hanging out here with us here on Fightful Overbooked. And subscribe to us here on the channel. We may not be at 100,000 subscribers yet, but damn it, we can still try to get there. Be like Taylor Cannon. Hey, Joel and Cresta. Well, hey to you, Taylor. Hope you're doing all right.
What's up, Taylor?
It's good to see you two chat. There's been a lot of wrestling this week.
Yes.
Everything was different. I did the post SmackDown show. You did the post Collision show as per usual. We did our post Impact show. Sometimes you watch Raw. Did you watch Raw this week? Yeah, I hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm muted because, again, this little rocket dog, I feel like he's up the block. I have on headphones and I'm like.
It's gone. It's done. No, it's back.
No.
This is hilarious. This is what makes this show so much better.
Oh, that man. Dog has a lot of opinions about professional wrestling. I'm trying to think back to Monday, but I feel like I didn't watch. I know I definitely didn't watch on Friday.
That's fine. So I don't know if you saw any of the stuff from just the Friday, like the social stuff. You saw, So you saw the tribal combat stuff, the posting of that.
What are the rules? Because it's kind of given no holds barred, unless I'm missing something.
So here's the thing. There are no rules right now. It's presumed to be anything goes. Let's just set this up real quick. So at the end of SmackDown, Jey Uso and Roman sit down, and it's a good segment. I mean, I do recommend going and watching the whole damn thing because there was some really good, some good acting in here, which is nice. And it's pretty, you know, pretty much the Bloodline way. You can see that Jey is like, he's nervous, he's pissed off, he's upset, he doesn't want to do this, but he really wants to do this. And they do this whole back and forth where he invokes the tribal combat, and Roman Reigns is like, do the elders know? Which is like the first time that they've invoked the name of the elders in like years, and they made this a whole like family saga outside of just the Bloodline on TV. And then Jay's just like, it was their idea. So the match, because of the way that Jey talked about it, he was like, if I want to hit you with this chair, I can. If I want to hit you with the slipper on that old lady's foot over there, I can do that. Put you through a table, da-da-da-da-da, this and that. And yeah, it basically reads like an anything-go match, which is fine. But I'm much happier not knowing what exactly this match is. Because in a couple of weeks, or even at the event, we're going to assume it's one thing, and then we might find out that it's a little extra, which I'm okay with.
You know, when you were explaining it, and it was like, well, the good thing about it is we know that there's no rules. I'm like, well, the thing about the X Division is that it's no weight limits. There's just no limits. So give them an Ultimate X match. I think I would laugh if I saw Roman Reigns in an Ultimate X match. And this would be me the whole time. Oh, boy, he about to do it. I would actually pay good money if the Tribal Combat was kind of like an Ultimate X match.
Wise man, climb up that truss. Go get that X for me.
Can you imagine the nut shots like when Alan Age just...
Oh my god. Yeah, man. It was that was Ultimate X. That was wild. So they're doing this tribal combat thing, and I keep getting it mixed up with tribal court. Mm-hmm. Because they keep branding all this shit differently. It's really weird. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. There's a lot of really fun matches on the card. This is an extra layer that I don't think people expected, because here we are. They're doing this whole like not only is it for the title, but it's also for like the tribal chief term. And Jay came out in a the tribal, or like, what was it? It was like the tribal chief or like the tribal one. Either way, it was like the real chief. I think that's what it said. So he's starting some shit. It's fun. It's a good segment, and it's a good good promotion for SmackDown.
I agree. I think this whole Bloodline storyline, there have been times, admittedly, so I got frustrated. But we're at the point now where it's like, something's got to give, where I like Roman Reigns' character. And I know people complain that it's gotten stale because he's cheating all the time. Need I remind you, in 2018, he was getting dog food poured on him with Baron Corbin. Coming out to bark, bark, bark. The dogs in the background were singing his theme song. So this is fantastic. I think that if he does lose, which if the reports are true, he will be champion until WrestleMania when he faces The Rock. But this is a great out. You've had at least four outs, in my opinion. You had it with Cody. You had it with Sammy. And I want to say even Kevin Owens in the very beginning when Paul Heyman fumbled the handcuffs. I'll give you those. But now you've got a great out where if you do decide that, you know, this tribal combat, you could have Rikishi, because a lot of people are like, what does Rikishi think about this? I'm like, well, Rikishi did it for The Rock, so you know what he think about this. So if you have Jay win it, Jay want to break it up with his brother, one championship, another championship, and then the other one you have solo hold, whichever one they decommission, but he still has it. I don't know, but there's enough belts for every oos.
do you really think that The Rock's coming back for this thing? I'm personally not expecting it at all.
I mean, I think it could happen if his schedule is free, if he has the time, because I do think that The Rock would want to put over his cousins, especially it would be every one of all. He would definitely want to put them over, but it also has to make sense. So Roman pins The Rock, okay? Or kind of even worse, The Rock pins Roman, gives him a reality check, woo, and then he leaves?
I mean, my general feeling is The Rock doesn't fit into this, because when The Rock comes in, he's just like, lol Rock quote, lol joke about your family, lol, you know, nothing escapes The Rock. And then Roman is a very serious character. I feel like The Rock coming in, not Dwayne, but like The Rock character coming into this, kind of takes everything a step back,
because he would have to morph. I see what you mean. He would have Rock's, to like change a little.
Yeah, Rock's never been serious head of the table Samoan that the Roman Reigns story is, or they even the Usos are. They take their heritage very seriously, whereas The Rock's character has never really given as much of a damn as these guys. So for me, if you bring in The Rock, that's something you do like after the title's gone, after everyone's moved on. This is like the beginning of the end for Roman. It's like that once in a lifetime scenario, but hopefully they don't run it back again the next year with the, you know, remember John Cena and The Rock, and they did it twice in a row.
Yeah, very time. Happily, no, I wasn't watching that, but I've heard the once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime.
So they did it once, and that was just a one-on-one match that took a year to build it from WrestleMania, the night after one WrestleMania, to the next one. And then they did it again when they put the title on the line and The Rock was the champion and Cena won the Rumble, and suddenly once in a lifetime was twice in a lifetime. Didn't need to happen, but they decided to run it back. It just doesn't work. So with that in mind, my feeling is it's not The Rock until after the title is gone, after the story is done. I would rather just have Rock come in later, and for now have Solo and Jay and Jimmy be the focal point with Roman in the story.
I wholeheartedly agree. But like I said, if they are going towards that, we want The Rock to be the capstone, Rock would just have to be like a reality check for Roman. And you're absolutely right. I think his character would have to evolve to not just being The Rock. There has to be a blend of Dwayne in there a little bit, if you will. He would have to not just take it up to Rudy Poo, all that other stuff. You would have to be like, okay, how are you the head of the table? Look what I'm doing and look what you're doing. You'd have to really get in your bag about it. And I think it's possible. But again, it comes back to my original point of, are you going to have off for movies? Am I going to want to bump around? Or do I want to fake bump around and get paid exponentially more than this? And then I have to sign a bunch of contracts and say, I can't do this, I can't do that, because I can't get hurt. It would be nice, even if it isn't for the title. I'm not going to hold you. I would like to see The Rock back in the ring, but in the confines of this story, everything would have to line up perfectly. And I don't think even next year, that's realistic.
I agree. And it wouldn't even be in the next year. And the older Rock gets, the further away we get from anything meaningful happening in the ring, too.
True.
Last time he had an actual match was the second twice in a lifetime. And he got hurt pretty bad. And the insurance for the unions were not happy about that. So that's, you know, that's another factor that comes into it. But the XFL is also something that he's going to want to continue to make successful, because he's currently not seeing the success he wants out of it. So maybe getting that crossover would help. I don't know. I don't hate the idea of Rock coming in, but I just think we're not anywhere near where it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. It would take a lot of shoehorning and fast tracking. And even with Heyman at the helm, I don't trust.
No?
Listen, for every Paul Heyman storyline, bloodline storyline, there is a Paul Heyman, Bobby Lashley cucking storyline. it's called the duality. And I think someone like The Rock and even Roman are going to want to take their time with it. And they're going to be like, okay, we're in January and we need this for Mania. Bro, Mania's in 3 months. We're not, you can't force it. You can't force it.
I want your opinion on LA Knight. Yeah. He did.
I love LA Knight.
He didn't win on Friday. He lost that four-way to get into that U.S. title, you know, invitational. So it's Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar next week. And the winner faces L.A. Knight. Or sorry, not L.A. Knight. But yes, so Rey Mysterio in your background, of course, with both eyes. The winner gets Austin Theory. No one remembers who the U.S. champion is. But either way, it's going to be Rey Mysterio. It's going to be Santos Escobar. Winner gets Austin Theory. LA Knight's out somewhere. Who knows? They didn't announce that the winner gets Theory at SummerSlam. So are we still looking at LA Knight, or what are we doing? What do you think?
This is the same problem I had with LA Knight winning the briefcase. You're putting LA Knight in these impossible, sometimes awkward positions and telling him to get over when he's 2 feet tall and you've built a wall to space. And then when he gets to space, you tell him, well, it's not like that. If you had him win the briefcase, who is he going to cash it in on? Certainly not Roman, to get his lip slapped off by Gunther. And then, you know, you're going to take it off of Theory, and people then would criticize the decision to take a briefcase and cash it in on a Theory, on a U.S. title. Nothing against the U.S. title, but in comparison, why would you not cash it in on the main title? Same problem here. I don't know why you wouldn't have him just take it off of Austin Theory. To me, that makes sense. Or at least have the match. But Santos Escobar versus Rey Mysterio, I feel like we're trying to force a will they, won't they? And I'm kind of tired of them doing that to fashions that just feel good. LWO, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they just turn face to do the Rhea Ripley storyline in Puerto Rico, Bad Bunny storyline in Puerto Rico, and now you want to do this will they, won't they with their mentor, Rey? Like, because y'all going to wrestle both babyface? I don't see it.
It feels like that's what they're going to do. And then it'll be a, you know, teacher versus student type of match. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. If Santos Escobar gets the win, I'm okay with that. Rey Mysterio gives him his blessing and says, yeah, like, beat me. This was great. You're the guy. And then he loses to Austin Theory. Theory beats him on the SmackDown going into SummerSlam. Well, and then LA Knight says, nah, nah, I want that title shot. Adam Pearce, I deserve this. And Pearce is like, yeah, sure. Austin Theory cheated to win, so I'm going to give you the title shot. I don't know how they get here, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do. If LA Knight finds his way into SummerSlam, I just don't know how they do it. Because it doesn't feel like the U.S. title match is going to be at SummerSlam, the winner of Escobar and Mysterio versus Austin Theory. This is how much Austin Theory is just not on my brain. I say everyone but his name.
It's kind of frustrating too, because I've been talking about this for the past couple of days. I'm trying to be objective. I think that Austin Theory was fine and offensive before when he was in the way, just a goofy guy. When Vince did that whole I'm your daddy now thing, people now root to see this man fail. And even if Austin Theory is good, nobody giving him a chance. And I think you should use that momentum to maybe get the title off of him, or maybe you're trying to do right by him because he's got that funk, but it's not working. It is not working. Even him as his heel, it's kind of like, I truly don't care. it's kind of sad because I think Austin Theory is a fantastic wrestler. I think that his character doesn't connect with the audience, but he's got the goods. Y'all had John Cena eat him up on the mic, and that wasn't nice, but he still got the goods. You know what I mean? So there has to be some way to refresh the character, and I think the best way to do it is to take the title off of him. And no matter who takes the title off of him, it'll feel like a big deal. Routing it back to LA Knight, if you put LA Knight in that position, I think that'll instantly boost it. I don't know why they don't have faith in LA Knight. He's very entertaining. Nothing wrong with having a great, simple catchphrase. Like, we just saw that again in Impact with Ashley. Yup, it's great. Like, just, it's simple, it's easy, it's great, and the man can wrestle. I don't know what they don't see, what the people don't see. And it gives me shades of, I don't want to invoke the name of Voldemort in some circles, but Zack Ryder. Then that some circles is the circle of Matt Cardona. Zack Ryder, who's that?
One thing about Austin Theory, he's young. He is talented, like you said. He's mm-hmm. a good wrestler. He has time to put it together, and I think WWE feels like he's not Teflon. It's not about being Teflon, but the idea is that he could eat L's and talk his way back into a title shot. Or he has plenty of time that he will eventually get it because he's in his early 20s. He's still a kid. That all said, there is something that isn't connecting with the audiences. What that is, do not know. But he's still the U.S. champion, but he has a really strong number of people who are after that championship and make him look less than compared to them.
I agree with that.
Yeah, like compared to LA Knight, compared to Santos Escobar, compared to Rey Mysterio, compared to even to Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes doesn't have much of a character right now, but at least he's more memorable and arguably a little bit better in the ring, a little more polished. There's something there that's missing, and I'm waiting for them to kind of take the title from Austin Theory and then let him rebuild whatever that is.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of strength in defeat, if you can pivot and make it turn into something. I would like to see Austin Theory, I guess, maybe get a little bit more serious. Have him drop the belt and give him, I guess, the Gunther treatment. Really put him through it and have him take it and be dominant. I think that'll work with his arrogant attitude. It's just that now in his current iteration, I think you're just pissing people off.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of pissing people off, Dom Mysterio won the North American title.
I love it. When I say I love heat, Dominic Mysterio, aka Eddie Guerrero's son. First of all, poor Wesley. Y'all ain't had to do that to him. But also, he should have been in Money in the Bank, bro. Imagine if Dominic Mysterio cashed in on Austin Theory. Or he took it out. No one would bat an eye. It would get astronomical heat, and you would automatically make Austin Theory a baby face. You got casted on Dominic Mysterio. We hate that guy. So good. But also, too, good on him. I saw bits and pieces of that match, and Wesley made him work for it. He made him work for it. He said, if you're going to be out here in NXT, you're going to be out here. Gave me shades of when Enzo Amore won 205 Live. And it's like, oh, if you're going to be champion, and you're going to actually wrestle a match, you better hurry up and get that disqualified belt in, because what you're in here, I'm stretching you. Oh, you working.
The Dominic stuff is frustrating and great at the same time. I was looking forward to talking about this with Kate, only because of the meltdown that she's already had and will probably have again. What's really frustrating to me is that he's not the greatest wrestler. Not that he has to be the greatest wrestler, but he's not necessarily on the level of his peers, but it more than's made up for with his character and the way that he is reacted to by the fans, which for so many is more than okay. And again, I don't think he should have won Money in the Bank. I understand that sentiment. I understand why people were all for it. Mm-hmm. For me, the way that Dominic wins is by everybody else getting the win for him.
Yes.
You know, that's how he won the North American Championship. That's how he retained it on SmackDown. He faced Butch for the for that North American title. And everyone got involved. And it was a schmoz finish, right? Rhea got involved, chop blocked the leg, sent Butch into the steel post. And then, of course, Dom goes for the pin. The referee makes him look like a fucking idiot. But, you know, referee's like, you're under the ropes. You're under the ropes. You can't pin him. You're under the ropes. And I'm like, don't do that. You make him look dumber. And then he has to push Pete Dunne, Butch, like into the ring and push himself in so that he's not under the ropes. And that moment I was just like, man, everyone looks stupid here, but I'm going to let that slide. The fact is, I like the idea of having Dominic Mysterio as this type of North American champion, mm-hmm. where he continues to get that heat. People are going to hate it, but they're going to react to it. And on top of it, every time he puts that title on the line, Judgment Day gets involved, to the point where eventually someone's going to have to say, Judgment Day, you're barred from ringside. You show up, Dominic automatically forfeits that title. Or we're going to put you all in a shark cage and we're going to hoist you high above the ring because it's Mattel.
Judgment Day on a pole.
They're going to put the Judgment Day on a pole and you got to take them down. So that's kind of the weird part about the Dominic Mysterio stuff. But again, I see what it's about. I hope that he gets better as a wrestler. There is potential there.
I'm going to say that I think that this coward heel is brilliant because it's almost like the same thing with Logan Paul. You want to see him fail. That's why you tuning in. You tune in to boo him. And nothing unites people more than hate. You don't deserve this. You lose everybody else. You cheat. You lie. Remember how much everyone hated JBL when he was champion and would always get counted out? That's exactly what's happening here. And I love a heel. So Dominic Mysterio getting Don Callis levels of heat. Like I said, Elias levels of heat in Seattle. Ugh, this is great. And I can't wait. I don't know how he's going to turn babyface. He's so deep in the heel right now. But this is great. And like you said, every time he puts that title on the line, people are automatically going to root for the other person. And it works out for everybody. If you get cheated out your boots, you get a couple of ways to beat up Dominic. Even if you still lose, you're like, no, he got cheated by Judgment Day. It gives more storyline because Dominic is a scapegoat and everybody hates him.
And here's the thing, man. I get, like, all these people are just like, you love to see Kate and Alex suffer. You're chaos booking versus Kate. No, here, I love Kate and I love Alex. I respect the hell out of them. I love the stuff that they do. Is it always for me? No. Do I disagree with them on certain things? Absolutely. Is this one of those things? 100%. You know why? Because I see it for what it is. My wrestling is not serious. And when it's not serious, this is the best incarnation of it. I don't believe in the Dominic is going to kill a guy in the ring accidentally trope that they started to use. I thought that was
what?
Really, yeah, that, because Wesley, they went up for, it was okay. It was supposed to be a back body drop or a belly to back suplex. And then one of them forgot what move they were supposed to take. And it ended up that Wesley had to flip over and land on his stomach instead of potentially landing on his neck. Okay. That was a bad spot. Everybody screws up sometimes. That's it. You have a whole whack of shit to remember in that ring, especially with a finish like that. I didn't expect people to run with that as like the only reason that he's unsafe. I didn't care so much. And yes, that was Kate's point. And I'm willing, again, I called her out on that and I talked about that with her. I was just like, I think he just plain screwed up and Wesley knew to finish the rotation. Dom forgot to go down with him and instead it's turned into a slop drop. That's fine.
At least nobody got hurt. I think.
Woof, woof, bark, bark. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, accidents happen. And I wish sometimes, a lot of the times, we would give wrestlers a little bit more grace. That's a lot of stuff to remember in the ring. And I say that as someone who took exactly one wrestling class, been to two different wrestling schools, and have been intimidated both times. The ring is high up. You got to flip. You got to make sure you don't get the yips. You got to do vertigo. You got to remember your lines. Remember the move order, because it's not like you got it written on your hand. What are you, The Rock? You know what I mean? Like, it becomes a lot. And because people dislike Dom, it's easy to be like, And I'm not saying that's what happened with Kate. But people are quick to dogpile. Remember they did that with Shotzi? I can only imagine And I wasn't watching wrestling, but I can only imagine how y'all treated Sasha. You know what I mean? When it happened with Saraya at the time, I can only imagine.
It was awful. It was awful. You had, and because Sasha has such, or Mercedes now, as she's known, has such a vocal fan base. Uh-huh. You had people who were, it was just like this screaming on screaming, right? There was the defense of Mercedes Sasha at the time. There was the, how could she, she's not a good worker, yada, yada. You got to see it. And the reality is like, she's really good. Like she is really good. The one thing that I really do not love about Mercedes are often Mercedes fans. Just like the one thing I don't like about wrestling are wrestling fans. And I'm one of them. So maybe people are just like, you know.
Not wrong.
That's the thing. I look at myself and I'm like, no, I get it, bro. I do. If I didn't.
So you understand where Dango's coming from? He's a pro wrestler, but man, he hates pro wrestling.
I get it. I say that every week. I get it, Dango. If they didn't pay me to talk about it, then I probably wouldn't be talking about it or doing as much as I am with it. But I love it, so I talk about it. And I also try to be even keel about it because there's way too much toxicity out there. So with that in mind, yes, back when everything happened with Paige, Saraya, and Sasha, Mercedes, people were weird about it because a bad screw-up was enough for people to just pounce.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening. That's not what's happening here all the time, but unfortunately, it opens up the floodgates.
It also doesn't help when you're a polarizing character on screen. Sometimes people think that that's how you are in person, and it's quick to, you know, like nobody wants anyone to get hurt. Wrestling is dangerous, and we forget that while we're out here yucking and putting Pythagorean theorem to storylines for someone's name who really isn't even Roman. There's still a person underneath there, so.
No, it's exactly that. And like people in the chat being like, what's worse, Star Wars fans or pro wrestling fans? No, any
Drag Race fans.
Again, any hardcore fandom that you're that you see or are associated with, there's going to be that weird toxic side of it.
Yeah. A lot of people, when you're passionate, some people confuse I'm passionate for I'm an expert. And Don't work yourself into a shoot, brother. a famous wrestler who would wear orange and red, whose name is Terry, and would pretend. This is what you're getting mad over. You know what I mean? Like, you're arguing over a man pretending to be a man named Hulk who rips off his shirt. And you're arguing with someone on the internet who you've never met. Listen to that sentence out loud.
Yep. Hulk Hogan doesn't have a 10-inch penis, brother. Terry, it's like, just...
It's still real to me, damn it, until it's not.
Well, that's the reality. I wish more people would just check themselves and be like, this, you're right, this ain't real. This is not real life. And when it's not real life, you just move on. You watch your 2, 3, 5, 15 hours of wrestling and you just move on.
Wait, you said 2, 3, 5, 15? Wait a minute.
If I tallied up the amount of wrestling I watch each week, it's way too high. Listen, let's do it. You got 3 hours for Raw on Monday. That's 2 hours for NXT on Tuesday. That's 5. Wednesday, we got 2 hours for Dynamite. Thursday, I do 2 hours for Impact. Some people continue and do another 2 hours for Ring of Honor.
We at 12.
There you go. Now let's add Friday. We've got SmackDown. That's 2. Another hour for Rampage. That's another. So what do we have? We're at 17? 15. 15? 15.
No, no, no. Okay. That's a lie. That's a lie. Yeah, no, 15. You're right. We're at 15. 15, because I started off with 2. We're at 12. 15, so yeah, 15.
All right, now this Saturday we've got Collision. That's 2.
Another 2 hours.
Am I missing something? Sundays are pretty open.
New Japan.
Plus, yeah, New Japan, it depends what you're watching. Right now, if you're watching the G1, that's literally 3 hours a night for a month.
So we're at 20 hours.
And that's just now. And then the PLEs and the pay-per-views and so on and so forth. But on a regular week, you're watching about 15 hours. If you're watching everything, you're watching 15, 16, 17 hours. Like, it's a lot.
And that's not including that. Look, we just included, I feel like, American promotions, no Canadian promotions. And let's not even get into like AAA or MLW.
Yeah, MLW is another one. I was going to say, well, MLW is American too, but like AAA is, they don't really do, well, they kind of do a weekly show. CMLL does a weekly show, but it's like, it's, yeah, there's a lot of wrestling. is what I'm
Wrestling getting. Revolver has like something almost every other 2 weeks.
PWR, yeah, they do something every couple of weeks. I see someone mentioning WOW Women of Wrestling, and listen, people want to joke about it, but they get ratings, they do well, that's another hour. There is a lot of wrestling out there, and not everyone should be. I want people to cover more of this weird, not necessarily discussed wrestling. But I also understand why everyone wants to talk about every company we just talked about.
Yeah. Because
that is where bread and butter is. That is where the numbers are. That is where the influence in the mainstream is, or at least the mainstream when it comes to wrestling coverage.
Yeah. Well, you get the most eyes on it, and it does create a community around it, and people want to talk about it. And I have found that people who watch Impact, even if you've watched Impact from the very beginning or from the Ultimate X days, Octagon Ring days, or from young Motor City Machine Guns, at this point, if you're still watching, you're very much like, I just want people to watch the product because it's so good and they really deserve a second chance. And they've been through so much shit. Like, it's kind of like your crackhead auntie who finally get clean and you want the best for her and nobody want to give her a chance because she's a crackhead or she was a former crackhead. But she's trying. She's trying and y'all hating on her for her past. Meanwhile, you got your abusive rich uncle, WWE, who's... And you're going to watch every week. So, you know, people want to talk about these things. And I get it. I get it. But again, take yourself out of it sometimes. You know, these are still people and they're doing dangerous stuff for our entertainment. And also, can you do that? Let me ask you something. I want to see you do a German suplex. I want to see you do a shooting star press off the top rope. I need to see you do a Juju Katami. Come on. Come on. Come on. You got all that mouth online. Let me see you do a Meteora and not hurt someone. I need to see you take a bump. I need to see a super kick and them legs better be straight. Oh, you can't do that? If you can't do what a wrestler does, maybe shut the fuck up.
I used to have that mindset. My feeling is call it out, but you better have something on the other side to work with. If you're just going to shit on everything, then I'm fully in agreement with what you're saying. But when you say, for instance, when you and I do our post shows, we'll talk about things that didn't work in the ring. But guess what? We're also going to talk about the stuff that did work. And we're only going to shut it out when it's like, so egregious that everybody and their mama's gonna notice it.
And we also give constructive criticism. I think it when I say that, because I did that on TikTok and it was two reactions. Wrestlers were like, yeah. And people were like, well, I don't know how to cook and I like to eat. So you're telling me I shouldn't eat? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you go to a restaurant and say, wow, this food isn't good versus, wow, this chef doesn't have no knife skills and this tastes like shit, this at a third. Okay, let me see you with your French culinary skills. You know what I mean? Like, you can critique, but when you start getting real personal or taking it over the edge, it's like, what are you doing? What are we doing here? What are we really doing here? Let's have a good time. And I get what you think, the constructive criticism. If you're like, well, I don't like Dominic Mysterio because I think he can improve this way. I think that's the consensus. But when you're just like, Dominic Mysterio sucks because his shoes are too big.
Buddy, if his shoe size is your problem, I think we're projecting a little bit, aren't we?
His shoes are so big!
How will he ever fit into those wrestling boots with those big honking feet?
I hate him! Those are flippers!
Now, okay, people are talking in the chat about the Impact thing and being like, it hurts that they're on Access. Buddy, we're in a world where you can get this stuff on YouTube for $1 a month, okay? And that's internationally. Like, even locally, you can get it for $1 a month on their YouTube. And it not only airs live, but it airs better than live. It airs at 8:30 and finishes at the same time that the Access feed would finish because it gets commercials cut out. I get to watch commercial-free Impact for $1 a month, $5 if I do the monthly, get all the specials, which I do because it's for work. Same. Buddy, you're winning at that point. That's the good stuff.
And I have found in this life that if you want to know about something or you want to watch something, Google is free. People will find a way. You will find a way. And a lot of wrestling, there are things that were recorded on VHS in 1986 that I can find on YouTube. You know what I mean? There are things that weren't on the internet that I can now, I can find the original drop. I can go find this stuff. If you want to watch it, you will go and find it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always out there. That's the kind of the best part about wrestling too, is that if you want it, you'll find it. It will be somewhere. The amount of stuff that we talk about that like people could easily Google and they're just like, I've never seen it before. It's like, well, guess what? We found it on YouTube. So can you.
And also, like, think about this too, before you all get into your tizzies. By the time we realize what actually happened, both parties are old and decrepit. Everyone's cool. You know what I mean? Look at what the curtain called it. People are like, oh, they hate those guys. They were out drinking every weekend. Stop it.
Yeah, they didn't give a damn. They did not. And that's my favorite part about wrestling now, is just like, everyone's the best and worst thing is everyone's got a voice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The best voices are the ones you gravitate towards, and I wish that fewer people would gravitate towards the negative. But I'm not like I'm saying stuff that's probably just, you know, preaching to the chat choir. I don't think that a lot of people in this room that we're in right now talking listens to a lot of the negative people out there. I'm not going to shout them out because it's not worth giving them breath. But
press the star.
Yeah, exactly. That woman is awful. Who would pay attention to her? But either way, there are so many positive folks out there that I love to go out of my way to listen to. And some of them even have call-in shows, and some of their callers are absolutely bonkers, and that's what makes it even more fun. But find the people that don't just talk shit about wrestling the entire time, and I promise you, your wrestling gets a million times better. Impact leaving Twitch was both like the best and worst thing to happen to them. It messed us up, because Jensen and I, we used to host a post-Impact show on Twitch. Or not even a post. We would do a watch-along where we could put our faces up on screen, watch Impact on the screen live as it aired, and like talk and just banter and do our thing. And then one random Thursday, they were like, well, no longer on Twitch as of yesterday.
Something, probably intellectual property, DMCA, resharing.
No, because they wanted people to be doing those watch parties. What happened was they decided that they couldn't actively give you any numbers, right? Like, if I'm hosting a watch party and I have 300 people on the Impact main channel where they're showing the show, they've got 1,400.
I got you.
They don't know. They don't account for my 318. They don't account for Jessica Havoc, who's also doing a watch party, getting, you know, 528, whatever the numbers are. Uh-huh. They couldn't account for those. They couldn't track those. And in a world where data is king, data, and therefore they couldn't get the advertisers, and therefore they couldn't get any of the good stuff that comes with that, the money that's available. So instead they moved to YouTube. And then again, a lot of this is just kind of me, there's some guesswork involved, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of it was that. And also the fact that for $1 a month, you can get the show. They get to know how many people are subscribed, and they can use those numbers to justify certain sponsorship deals or certain whatever monetization options that they could have. And they can also run more content with it. So at first I thought it sucked. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, no, this makes the most sense for Impact as a business, because this is a business where literally people ask Sean Ross Sapp every single Q&A he does, how does Impact make money? And Sean's answer is like, because that's the answer. Nobody knows.
Anthem. I want so much more for Impact too, but I hate these questions that you're saying, because they make a lot of good points.
But remember, again, Impact is owned by Anthem. Anthem owns Access TV. Access TV doesn't have to spend a lot of money to produce Impact, and therefore they can drop the money back into their budget, which then Impact can use to bring in the talent that they do. The talent that they tend to bring in, especially the guys like Leo Rush and Nick Aldis, the people that come in for short-term deals, they often come in for not only a short-term deal, but like they're able to pay them for whatever they want. Uh-huh. Matt Cardona made his not his entire his entire comeback, quote unquote, on Impact, but he got popular again because he was able to do a lot of the stuff on Impact while doing everything else he was doing on the Indies and GCW and so on and so forth. He had another platform. So like Heath is another one, you know, say what you will about Heath. He's a former WWE long-term tenured star, came over. He's been getting paid ever since. He came in and got hurt in Impact. and they still paid him throughout, and they've kept him on the roster. Mm-hmm. So really, there's an investment there. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts doing backstage work or has been doing backstage work as a producer or anything like that. By the way, Fightful Select just dropped a really funny one about someone else that's a wrestler in AEW who's doing some producing behind the scenes. Name you wouldn't expect, but it's hilarious and it's perfect. So check that out. That's my only Fightful Select plug for tonight.
I don't know who it is. And when you said it's hilarious, the name you wouldn't expect, Danhausen. No more further questions at this time.
I'm gonna drop it in the private chat for you. Don't say it out loud. You will probably laugh.
I don't want you to type Danhausen. I swear to God.
It's not.
Okay, all right. It's not Dan. Can confirm it's not Danhausen. Before a moment, I was like, please don't type Danhausen. I was joking. Not saying he'd be bad, but I want more spooky matches.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's keep going. By the way, there are positive wrestling podcasters. So many of them are just here on Fightful.
I feel like a lot of people, controversy creates cash. Eric Bischoff talked about, was that Eric Bischoff or Vince Russo?
Controversy creates cash is Eric Bischoff.
Oh, I was right the first time. Come on.
Vince Russo is just a piece of shit.
Listen, nothing is as black as white as we would like. Some people are. Yeah. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that a lot of things now, if you can get people to outrage, watch, or outrage share, it's still sharing it. And these are numbers that still work. So it's easy to watch something with a hate boner, for the lack of a better word, and then get on your platform and say, I watch wrestling and it sucked. Do you know wrestling's fake? This guy's an idiot. Depending on your audience or your demographic, that'll resonate. And sometimes when you get pigeonholed into doing those types of reactions or that type of content, that's what's going to pay your bills. If I took out of my mortgage being a piece of crap, who's going to continue to be a piece of crap? It's crappy, but certain things will always get people mad, and the people who are really good at it know it and know where to pick, who to pick on.
I'm reading the chat, and outrage bait is exactly it. And it bugs me. There's a reason. So this is, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I take Tuesdays off and Saturdays off if I can help it. Sometimes I fill in and help out, whatever. My Tuesdays are sacred, because it is my one day a week where my kid is supposed to be at daycare and not at home sick. Unfortunately, this past week was a whole other can of worms. Don't need to get into that. But traditionally, it is the time where I am doing my own thing. I am largely offline. I'm not on socials until like 4 or 5 o'clock for an hour where I'm just catching up on stuff. I'm only doing like the bare minimum. So that is my Tuesday. My Saturdays, I'm with my family. I'm doing stuff with my kid. I'm doing stuff with my partner. Like we're doing stuff, and we try to get out of the house. We try to get away from socials and from being online. Mm. The only stuff I need to do on my computer, setting up for these shows on a Sunday, and that's about it. So
I don't blame you.
I highly recommend it to anyone who is spending most of their time in the bubble, whether you have to for work or whatever. Even the Jeremy Lamberts of the world find time to pull out.
Damn, Jeremy didn't even do nothing.
Jeremy didn't do nothing. But the point is, I think people who know Jeremy know that his output at work and his dedication to this is very intense.
That's true.
So damn hard, and he will never. I swear to God, if any of you tell him that I said this, it's over.
Joel putting somebody over. Get quick. Get your screen record. Hurry up.
No, the problem is me putting Jeremy over. God. But the point is, because he works so hard, he still sometimes tries to make that time to be with his family. And that is important. And I wish that more people would take advantage of that, because that goes so stupidly far. You'll have no idea.
You don't gotta watch wrestling every day of the week. I normally don't do things on Sundays unless I'm streaming, but I had people energy today. And when I saw the call, I was like, let me get on here. But Joel is absolutely right. I think it's important to have days where you step away from the wrestling, or if you do watch it, like, I don't stream when I watch Impact because I'm taking notes. But if sometimes if I catch up on old wrestling programs, like sometimes I watch Lucha Underground, I don't tell nobody. I just watch it and enjoy it. No opinions, just like, this is good S word, and then go about my day. Sometimes you need to just have that. You don't have to critique everything. Not everything you think has to.
No, Dan. No, everything must be critiqued. Everything must be told. You've got to have an opinion on everything. That is what it is nowadays. And if you don't, then what are we doing here?
My opinion is shut the hell up and give me all your money.
but this is my favorite thing is like our opinions. I think the opinions of many are valid. And you know how you know that? You know that by sometimes it's the engagement. Sometimes it's just the conversation that it strikes. Some people are very, very obviously engagement baity out there, and that stuff makes me absolutely insane. But the good conversations come from those who, you know, who have the engagement on their personal, you know, whatevers. Their
nuanced takes too. That it helps. It helps if you're just like, these are the reasons why I don't like this, that, and the third, and not just like, you are an idiot. You like WWE. You are an idiot. You like AEW. You are an idiot.
Chris, let me tell you this, the best thing in the world. If you haven't done this yet, and people should know about this, if you're using Twitter or whatever new name they're going to be next to,
not X videos.
By the way, that is currently trending in the United States.
I saw that. And if you know, you know. And I was like, wait a minute. What? I had to put on my incognito tab. I was like, wait a minute. what's happening here?
It's Twitter. Okay. It's Twitter. I don't give a flying shit what you call it. It's Twitter. Anyway, if you're on the Bluebird app, I don't even know what I was going to say anymore.
I fucked you up. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Everybody else just, oh, God. Oh, the point I was trying to make, everyone's staying away from it. Like, you don't get nothing. This is what it was. The quality filter. Okay. For the love of Christ, I want everybody right now. I don't care if you believe in whatever. I don't care. Go into your settings and turn on your quality filter. It will absolutely save so many problems. There are certain comments that you'll regret not being able to see, but that's up to the person who has low quality content not making it through your feed. Twitter's just a cesspool anyway, but you can at least heighten some of the engagement by turning on the quality filter, okay?
I need the memes from all those reaction posts when people getting ate up in the quote retweets. This is me, other people's things. Like, oh, that's a good one. Save. Save.
Real quick, then we'll talk about, we'll take off blood and guts in a minute, but I want your take on the NPC TikTok thing.
Oh, I've done it. Hey, I've done it.
Let's hear this.
Tell me. Here's my thing. I'm too much of a main character to do because I keep breaking character and my roommate keep laughing and you just end up laughing. However, get in where you fit in. Bruh, you can laugh, but if you look on the TikTok lives as people, let me debate you about someone's human rights. Not interested. I'm a conservative and you shouldn't have. Not interested. Let's fight. Not interested. So honestly, if it's literally, I had my Stone Cold Steve Austin belt on, some glasses. I was going, Adam Cole, baby, jabroni. I'm better than you and you know it. Suck it. $6, 20 minutes. Didn't feel bad. The second two times I did, I was like, this is not for me because I'm too busy laughing. Let people have fun. If we could watch, again, we're going back with the Terry example. We could watch a man whose name is Terry pretending to be a guy who's so strong he could rip his shirt every week. We could watch someone going, Glizzy's my favorite. Yum, yum, yum. Let him be great. If you spending money, let him be great. Some people haven't figured it out. Some of these kids are in debt. There's a Hollywood strike going on. Let people be great. If you see me doing it, put a dollar in the basket. Also, mind your business, Joel.
Dude, no, I gotta say, there's that one woman who is doing the popcorn thing. Come on, man. That stuff is
too good.
It's gold. It's gold. Because you know
I can watch wrestling. I could watch that.
Yes. And it's so, you know, okay. Here's the secret to it being so good. she only broke character like twice in her entire, like, she doesn't break stride. That is a great character. That is a great gimmick if you can keep it without breaking, if you can be serious the whole time. Like, if that hair iron, the what do you call it, the straightener that she's using to pop the popcorn, if that is the thing that's keeping her from just losing it, good on her, man. Find that one thing that keeps you going straight ace with this whole, with that.
Reading chat is the problem. Cause there will be people who are like, oh my God, this is funny. Not you too. And then there's people, be yourself. And I see a lot of AIs do it like, oh, your father doesn't love you. I haven't seen my father in 3 days. It's great. This is like, if you, do you want to be a wrestler? Can you handle Sami Zayn being a clown in front of you and you don't break character? Look at Jey Uso when he said he's just not feeling Uzi. Jey Uso had to do this. So if you can be an AI, you can be a wrestler. Don't quote me. Don't quote me on that.
No, I'm going to do that. If you can be an AI, if you can be Krusty, you can be an AI. Dude, NPC TikToks are just the funniest thing in the world to me.
It's a work, brother. It's Jeff Jarrett levels of work. Yeah, you making fun of me, but who buy the ticket to see Jeff Jarrett? Anybody else hot?
Oh, let's talk blood and guts. Did you watch the show? Did you watch the match?
Yes, I did. I said this on Saturday. My heart immediately went to Iridian because Iridian loves Wheeler Yuta. And I, much like Impact, I think I witnessed a murder. And also, the cameraman missed Moxie, I guess, throwing in the towel because you just see Moxie in the corner like, damn, this is about to kill Wheeler Yuta. I'm wildin'.
They missed a lot of things in that match, unfortunately. I talked about it with Jeremy on In the Weeds. It sucks because production's actually really good and they've gotten better. I think it's just really tough doing a show like that. The Blood and Guts, like a two-ring show, is not something that's traditionally held in AEW other than that once a year period. So like you have to really block out everything. And by which I mean like block as in the production blocking out scenes, not block out things from your mind, but like you have to plan it out so that production gets the important moments. There were obviously things that they missed, and that's fine. It's just, it comes to the territory. But there are certain, like, there's something really cool that's going to happen soon. And that is, as like we talked about with the banned moves list, it's going to be that the communication is going to lead to better production. And when it leads to better production, we are going to see a much better implication of the show, or just the way that the show is shot. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, it sucks when they miss like the finish, right? Moxley was the one who submitted, not Yuta. Yuta was the one getting choked out like a bitch, but Mox was the one who's like, I gotta save my boy. And that was it. It was a good
technically
finish.
Moxley started this. Moxley is getting the BCC beat up, except for Claudio Castagnoli, because we all know Eddie Kingston hate that man. Over, and I quote, some Shakara bullshit.
But they're gonna keep fighting over it, and I love it. And you know what, the next like Ring of Honor pay-per-view, it's hopefully gonna be Eddie, and that's fine. And now Moxley is the one who has to pay penance to Yuta, instead of Yuta having to like do bridges over the red rocks in the middle of the canyons in Vegas. Instead, Moxley has to go run laps around MIT or something.
I mean, to be fair, Wheeler Yuta, you can't go on Twitter and every place that'll give you a microphone. Like, you know, I pinned Kenny Omega. Two thighs, right? Bro, I'm like, brother, you're going to eat that V-trigger one-winged angel. And this was far worse than that. You had three men giving you the big boss man special. So... poor Wheeler Yuta, but honestly, that's tougher than a $2 steak, as JR would say.
What do you think of Kota Ibushi in the match?
Sorry, is Buck trying to take me out?
Oh, I thought that was your interpretation of dealing with that. Get him away.
No, Kota Ibushi, I said this too on Saturday, and I'll say it again here. We need to, does he know wrestling is a work? Because the way he came down, just potato, get out of here. Potato, you get out of here too. I hate these kids. Like, yo, bro, you and Eddie Kingston should form a tag team and call it What's Wrestling? Because I've never heard of that. I'm here to fight and I get paid to fight. So screw you. But no, he was so stiff. That man was stiff. And then there was a clip circulating of him after the match throwing himself on glass. Bruh, I see why Kenny like you.
So he's doing it on the thumbtacks. And I have a theory that he did it because, honestly, that wasn't the Ibushi you normally would get. That Ibushi was, he's been through a lot. He is not 100%, but he tried and he definitely potatoed. He definitely walloped and he definitely kicked a lot of people. So after the match, I think he did that one spot as like a bit of a, I don't know if I was really at my best, but I'm going to give people something to remember me by. And that got people talking. That's right. And it got the people what they wanted. So match was fine. Match was good. Wasn't my favorite blood and guts match, and that's okay. But I don't know. Overall, I enjoyed it. It was an entertaining couple hours. I had a whole long conversation with Jeremy about other things. We talked more about MJF and Adam Cole and about the Britt Baker having a 30-second squash when there were no women's matches announced. We talked more about that than we did about blood and guts, the match itself. So that's just what it was. It was a good episode of Dynamite, though, right?
I could watch that Blood and Guts because you know I'm SAWFT. Yep. Out of the other Blood and Guts, this one was pretty tame. Moxley, I'm surprised he didn't come out bleeding. He didn't start bleeding until seven minutes in, which I'm, again, surprised. But all things considered, this match was not that bad. I will say my heart sank when I saw, I think it was Matt Jackson on top of the cage doing the Three Amigos with Wheeler Yuta. Because I'm like, if you throw him off that cage, I don't know. Just no. No.
Oh man. It was a good show. You talked about Collision on Saturday last night. Was there anything that like you really wanted to rehash tonight? That like you really enjoyed?
Let me get my notes because
you had to say Sean on the show. I'm sorry about that.
Nah, Sean helped me out because Rick wasn't there and totally not to help me kick off the show or anything. Sean just showed up with some scoops. let me just go look at my notes, y'all. I got bad memory. When you've lived for 4,000 years, there's no worms up there, just dust. Oh, let's talk about that FTR promo because people booing FTR, it's been so long since people have legitimately booed. Last time I think I've seen FTR really get booed was when they were in WWE with that Aussie Hot situation. And that was forever ago. Like, they get booed, but not like, they're still God's favorite, if you will. Miro, sorry. They're still God's favorite.
That's fine. Miro gave up on the God thing, so it works out.
So it's like, I was surprised, but I almost called him FTR Ball. Jesus Christ.
That's him. You got it.
FTR Bald brought up a good point. He's like, yeah, and FTR Hair. Yeah, you like Max and Adam, and yeah, it's cool. But a dance break? The tag team titles are notoriously disrespected, and this is supposed to be the most important prize for a tag team. And you want to stop your match for a dance break? Are you serious? Are you for real? Remember the pinnacle? I think that this is great what they're doing. But I've seen this. With Jericho, we had a musical. Now you guys got bros. Now you did this with Cody. I get it. This is your ethos. But why you got to drag the tag team into this? I feel like you guys are going to break up before you do it. But, like, I agree with FTR. We've got the Acclaimed on this roster. We've got Death Triangle, the Elite. There's so many other tag teams. But we're going against Adam Cole and Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Be for real. And he kind of got booed for that, which is like, whoa, why are y'all booing him? He's right.
Well, is he? Because clearly these two have shown that they're able to coexist and they're able to win matches. They've come together for a common goal, and that is more gold. There's been a little bit of that. Yeah, listen, I think a lot of people know that this ends with MJF and Adam Cole splitting up and we have another title match. And again, this was actually something that I brought up with Jeremy too, was that my favorite moment of that tag match on Wednesday was that, yes, they did the dance break and I thought it ruled. I thought it was hilarious and it was stupid and it was fun and it was wrestling. But what I loved was that when the match was over, and they were celebrating in the ring. And Adam Cole gets that AEW title and he's staring at it a little too long. And MJF is just like, hell are you doing? That is what reminds people that, yes, the title is still serious. That, yes, these two still have a wanting for that title and the match that will inevitably come with it. And I wouldn't be surprised if MJF does something like go after Britt Baker, because if you go after something that MJF loves, then MJF will go after something that you love. And if that's what we do here, that's fine. If they win those tag titles, I'm even fine with that, because it just plays into a larger story where they do the rematch at All In at Wembley, and then they do the split at Wembley, and next week is the world title match. And no chat, I don't see a double turn. MJF has never wanted to be the good guy in this whole thing. He's been faking it the entire time, and it's obvious. And Adam Cole is just playing along, and he's falling for it like the idiot face. But I think Adam Cole is going to be the one to take out MJF, because he's going to see it, because he was the heel before, and he's going to take out MJF before MJF has a chance to take him out. But MJF is going to do something that much more dastardly the next week.
It's the whole handshake with the gun behind the back situation, because we know Adam Cole could be a piece of crap, and it's not like he don't got backup in AEW. MJF has no friends. MJF is the Bully Ray of AEW. You got people coming up to you in the hallway. You really trust MJF? Be for real.
Also, like, I see in this chat, they're like, I don't want to see the tag titles used like that. The tag titles haven't been used right in months.
I hate that. Because I also saw that other thing. Like, isn't that why FTR left WWE? I mean, low-key, high-key, you're right. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like the same way I felt with the Shayna Baszler, Ronda Rousey, Isla Dawn, and Alba Fire. You don't got to involve the tag teams to make this storyline work. We already have enough issues. You know what I mean? I don't hate it, in the sense of I want to see Adam Cole versus MJF again. I think, in my opinion, for me, this is the most interesting Max has been in a while. And I think it elevates both of them, because we all want to see Adam Cole in a situation. But I'm going to keep it real with you. Even if Adam Cole goes against MJF again, I don't think Adam Cole wins that, because after, it's like, when Ricky Starks said, why are you carrying around that bag full of nothing? Ooh. At some point, MJF got to respond to that. And I think that's how I think MJF loses it to CM Punk. I do. And I don't think that there is there's a time right now for Adam Cole to be involved in that schmuck. That's going to be a mess. Yeah. I can't wait for that. That's going to be a mess. Capital M.
You know what? The tag titles have been used well in the last month in the whole FTR versus the Bullet Club Gold story.
Yes.
They did a great job with that. They had a great match on Collision a couple weeks ago with that, a 58-minute banger, yada, yada, yada. That's fine. You can still have the tag titles go to MJF and Adam Cole, who win the match in a competitive 2-on-2, and then they're not going to do a dance off every week. Like, they're just not. They're going to have a tag team title run for about a month, and then it could go back to FTR. It could, or it could go back to some other team. Who knows what it is, but it will end with Cole and MJF turning on each other. And that's fine.
Whenever again, it happens, it happens. We know it's going to happen when it happens.
And the world title will be just as important as it was this past Wednesday when they did that little tease right in the middle of it. I love it.
Well, my question to you then again is, wouldn't that then feel like, I guess to this person's point in chat, that they're using the tag titles to emphasize the main title, when I feel like you can FTR versus the Elite. Come on now. I want to see that. I want to see that. You know what I mean? And I know FTR can't be chance forever, but what do you think that something like this puts it as a prop, if you will?
FTR and the Bucks can happen again. It can happen as early as All Out. Who knows? It can happen. It can happen again. What's strange to me is if this goes all the way to All In and then it becomes the world title, becomes the focal point after Cole and MJF drop those titles. You basically have to have a next in line right away. So you have to, what are you going to do? Another tournament? You can't do another tournament to determine a number one contender, because you just did that. So instead, you have to find a way to book whoever the next contenders are for the tag titles without doing it as as a blind eliminator or a bunch of tag team matches. Someone has to come in and do something about it. And another question is, Roddy Strong. What happens to him? I think Roddy Strong comes in after the turn and says, either told you so, or he joins in on one side or the other.
Where's Kyle O'Reilly?
He's still out. He had his neck surgery a while ago.
I knew he was injured, but I didn't know it was his neck.
Yes. Yeah. He's been out for, it's got to be almost a year at this point.
Can we go to the docks and sing a she shanty to unearth Bobby Fish?
Nah.
Bobby Fish has a nice mustache. I'm jealous.
He does. And then he shaved it all at one point.
I didn't mean to suck my teeth like that. I'm sorry. In my mind, the visual of Bobby Fish without a mustache is Eric Young. So I don't want that.
Malachi Black shaves his beard. And the first thing I said is, if that man cut his hair, he would look like a taller version of Eric Young.
I'm leaving this.
Tell me when I'm telling lies, Cresta. Tell me when I'm telling lies. You saw Malachi Black without that facial hair. Come on. I'm gonna pull up a photo while you tell me.
Oh, my brain is hurting. Listen, maybe Don Callis, not Eric Young.
Oh, you ain't seen it.
Not the Bobby Who, Bobby Lights.
Telling you, man, it's right there. Oh, I can't use that one. He's got the thing over his head. There are no good photos of Malachi Black.
He's in hiding.
Oh, that's okay. You can use that one. Here's the thing about the collision photos. I can't hear that. Can't right click and save.
That's when you need to go to alt print screen.
Yeah, I don't have time to do that while I'm live on the air with you. Ain't nobody filling time.
Dun, 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 dun,
no.
Dun.
No. No. But my point is, go look at the photos from Collision, and you'll see Malachi Black without the beard. You take his hair off, and he looks like Eric Young, okay?
Maybe. I gotta look at it. I gotta look at it. Because you said I look like Scorpio Sky with that ball picture. I didn't see it. I saw Stokely Hathaway. And then after looking at it, it was like, oh, I see it.
There you go. Here, last thing, and then we can get out of here. Billy Gunn, in or out?
Oof. Woof. 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 I don't know. I want to believe it's a work because Billy Gunn is in a renaissance in his career. He's over. Super, super. He hasn't been this over since. You know, like...
Nakamura?
No, that's...
I'm doing Nakamura.
I don't know. I don't know. I want to know what House of Black whispered to him. Whatever, whatever Malachi and Buddy whispered to him, he was like, you know what, man, fuck this. I don't want to do this no more. I want to know what they said to him. Commentary did put over, every time the Acclaim has lost, it's because Billy Gunn has been the reason. He's the one who eats the pins. And I'm like, well, of course, he's grandpa and he doesn't hurt him to eat the pins, like whatever. But I could understand that. I hope that it's a work. However, them saying that he's 59, excuse me, he looks great. Yep. 59 on him versus however old Sting is. Not saying that Sting is out of shape, but these are two different body types. And oh boy, Billy Gunn is. I mean, come on now. Like they're both around their 60s. Billy Gunn looked really, 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 really good.
Yes.
For his age. He looks really good.
Yes, he looks really, really, really good for his age. For
wow, Joel said, I'm not having it. I'm no selling this.
No. He's in really good shape. The shape comes with certain... Anyway, I'll let other people figure it out. The WWF from the 90s really taught us about how you get that way. But Billy Gunn... I think it's a work. I think it's a big old. I think it's a big old. That's fine. Unless there's like some huge, like undisclosed injury that nobody knows about, and that he's about to go under the knife and be like, "Well, this is it for my career. We're done now," which would suck. And hopefully that's not the case. But if it is, then it makes sense that he would do it like this because it's so sudden. But I really do think that it's part of the larger storyline, and I think House of Black was just like, "You look great. You look better if you join the House of Black." Go Black Daddy, yes.
we found this mask on the street. You want to wear it? I think it looked great on you. And I'll dry it outside. Like, yo, what the? That's my mask. That's my line.
We'll call you Mr. Ass Black. We'll call you Mr. Black Ass.
We'll call you Mr. Black. I was thinking the same. We'll call you Mr. Black Ass. I mean, I don't know. And someone had sent in a super chat, but you can still send them in today on this site. Do it now on YouTube. But last night on the Collision Post show, they said, even if it's not a work, what a way to go out when you have the crowd chanting, you still got it. And no, 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 no. Not a lot of people get to be as over as Billy Gunn has been twice in their career. He was gold in DX, and he wasn't even the main focal point of DX. He's now gold here in the Acclaimed. Again, not even as the main focal point, but not anything that takes it away. So I hope that it's not probably a work, but if it is, that's creative, number one, because I've seen other retirements that were, well, that's creative as hell. And number two, again, people chanting, you still got it, and no. Kudos to you. Kudos to you.
My general feeling is it's a work. Uh-huh. It's going to turn into the Acclaim saying, one last time, give me one last shot. If I can't do it, I will officially retire. And then the Acclaimed win those trios titles either on Collision, at All In, at All Out, whatever the next big show will be. You got a month, give or take, until All In. So you could do it there, or you could do it sooner than that. They could spend a month trying to convince, you know, Billy Gunn that he still got it and that he deserves to have that second shot. Because again, remember after the after they lost the tag titles, the Acclaimed were just like, we're going to do one more. This time it's going to be for Daddy Ass. He deserves a title. Now is the chance for them to actually play off that entire storyline. And I see them winning those trios titles because, to put it bluntly, Malakai Black don't work Wednesdays.
Also, you've got a story brooding under the surface with Andrade. And I've been saying LIJ needs to pull up, because where's Roosh? You know what I mean? Where are these people who are going to be like, bro, you're not going to do that? And I could see them costing House of Black the titles.
Well, Roosh has been on paternity leave.
I didn't know that.
He had a baby girl like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Three or four weeks ago, yeah.
Hey, late congratulations. Come on, baby bull, period.
So for that, and this is why I love people are just like, oh, his contract's almost up. He only signed for a year. And I'm just like, well, yeah, but like he also ain't going anywhere else right now, because WWE ain't gonna hire him right now. So,
bro, somebody has said Roosh is gonna go to WWE. I'm like, who gonna pay Roosh?
Ain't about who's gonna pay Roosh. It ain't, believe me, it ain't about who's gonna pay Roosh at this point.
I said pin.
Oh, who's gonna pin Roosh? Yeah, that is the question.
Because he don't do that.
No, El Toro, no Blanco Jabo.
Bury that. Get somebody
else. El Toro, no Jabo. So, I think he's sticking around. Listen, Tony has convinced Roosh that if you lose once in a while, I'll make you whole eventually. So that's good for him.
Didn't we see someone from New Japan recently lose who was like on the no lose list? I feel like, I don't think it was Okada. It was Okada who lost to Bryan Danielson.
Oh, yeah, but this was different. I think this was different. I think a lot of people expected, they expected Okada to win, and then having Danielson win was the big, like, oh my God moment. But Will Ospreay winning that title was like the make good.
Fair. Well, either way, happy for you, Roosh. Hope you and your wife and your baby girl have a happy growing up, whatever the stuff, well wishes, vibes, whatever. And I can't wait for you to come back.
He'll say
Roosh versus Black Taurus, book it, cowards.
No, they're not going to do that one anymore. That's a whole other can of worms. Lucha, believe me, Lucha politics are weird, okay? You just read certain Twitters and you'll be like, oh my God, why? But
just answer this one question. Did they wrestle before?
Roosh and Taurus? I don't know. Mainly because I just haven't paid attention.
I'm ready for the bull v. bull action.
I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't have happened. We're gonna look this up live on the air right now. This I have time for.
We love a little wrestling knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, what you are watching and witnessing right now is what you should be doing. If you're not sure about something and you and your friend are having a discourse, look it up. Don't think because I think I know, therefore I know, because that makes you a Melvin.
So they haven't done one-on-one, but in AAA, they have matched up a few times.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Yeah, I see it. There was Commander Pagano and Taurus over La Facción and Gobernables, which is Realistico and Rouge, and Cibernético. Cibernético was coming back, I think, from CMLL at the time. This was last year at one of their shows. Other than that, they've had other, like, six-mans and stuff like that.
Okay.
But yeah, they've never done one-on-one.
I'd be with it. I like to see bulls fight. And then you add the Brahma Bull, the Rock in it. It'd be a special guest ref. All right, I'm done. It's the beard. I started getting thoughts. We all know I don't think.
I get it. Anyway, yeah, I think that's about it for me, at least. Anything else? Anything else in your mind we got to talk about?
Wrestling. Do wrestling NPC streams. I want to see it.
I actually would love that. Please tell us about wrestling NPC streams. I need TikTokers who are doing wrestler NPCs.
I will do it. It's again, I have a hard time breaking character because I'm a main character and just doing the same thing like I would do when I was a waitress. Like, hey guys, my name is Cressa. I'll be taking care of you. Did you guys decide what you want on your table? Great. You, how you want that steak? French fries, baked potato, or yellow rice? Great. What do you want to drink? You want that regular or large? Great. That's what you got to do. If you could do that at Wally World, Walmart, you could get on there and be like, Glizzy's my favorite.
Listen, man, if I can come on here every single day and be like, hello, friends, we're back again. It's blah, 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 dot, blah, blah, blah. And I am Natural Pearl and I am da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm pretty sure I could do it too.
Bro, I think someone said that trend kind of started on YouTube. Because YouTube livers were doing Sims where they would have the green thing on their head and be like, do-do-do-do-do-do. And when people would do a humper chat or a super chat, they would act out whatever it was. Listen, I don't know who started it, but if you want to take your hand and reach it into your pocket and come out with money and insert it into your phone and then deposit it into my account.
Money, please. Your hands are very strange in this vortex.
If someone said, Cressa, all you do is talk about wrestling and what they could do better. What if one of these wrestling companies called you tomorrow? Call me Dominic Mysterio to re-ripley. Mommy uppies!
Stop it. Oh my God. Let's get out of here. I'm in the weeds tomorrow at 10 a.m. So Cressa, go plug your stuff.
Guys, it was fantastic being here with you on a Sunday. What a surprise. Thursdays, Saturdays on Fightful, main channel. Thursdays, Joe Pearl, Impact, tune in. Saturdays, Ricochino, Rest Friend Iridian, myself. All of this, of course, takes place after the shows. 10-10 on both nights or whatever it is. Mondays, Wednesdays, sometimes Fridays. I don't know. Definitely Wednesdays. How about that? You can find me on TikTok or Twitch at Cressa Star. And if all of that is too much, look at the bottom where the duct tape is. Cressa the Star is, that's where you can find me. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
Easy to find. I'm Natural Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. I go in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on Fightful Overbooked with Jeremy Lambert. Tomorrow we'll talk about Tribal Combat. I'm sure we'll talk about Willow and Athena and Death by Dishonor. Sorry, Death Before Dishonor. I kept saying I'm not going to call it Death by Dishonor. Death by Snoo Snoo. Instead, I call it Death Before Dishonor. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. So come and join us there. And of course, Cressa and I are here every Thursday on the main channel doing the post-impact show after they do the Ring of Honor show. And what else do I do here? Kate and I are back maybe next Sunday. Here's the story. I'm in Ottawa. I get back on Sunday evening. So there's a possibility that I will be there or we'll just start late. Either way, Kate and I plan to be back next Sunday, Joel and Kate at 8 p.m. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers and have a good weekend.
Bye.
Whatever's left of it because like, it's over, right?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.